This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It is great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. No market action today. They're closed because of the President's Day holiday. But there's all sorts of business news going on and things to look at about the week ahead. So it's good to have you with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. The storm is over now, but we still have temperatures in the 20s, though. O'Hare is 26 degrees, partly sunny. 26 also along Chicago's lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. We are live today at the Chicago Auto Show. Lots of families have been funneling in here since 10 o'clock this morning when the show first opened, getting a really great look at some brand new cars. On today's show, one of the things that we're going to talk about is the Chicago Auto Show, what you can see here in this final day as it closes at 8 o'clock tonight. And also we'll find out a little more about the business of automobiles that is spurred on by this show. Who's impacted? What's it like for dealers, and also what is it like for consumers? We'll talk about that on today's show.
And what is it like to have a bright orange car? I've been staring at it ever since we arrived this morning.
Literally, the location that they have is
Some pretty cool things here.
It's an orange Camaro, and we're right across from it. And it does seem like, at least in this section, like it's the most popular car. So there's something about the orange Camaro that people are liking. Tom Hudson is also going to join us on the show today. Tom is going to look at the week ahead and also a general overview of the economy. Mark Hulbert, the contrarian, will talk with us about the markets. Are we about to see a dive on Wall Street? And also, Stock Picker Monday on the show today. We'll have an investing pro join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The week ahead is going to include several key reports from the housing market, plus release of minutes from the most recent meeting of the Fed. We're joined by Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tom, what are you expecting to see that could rock our world this week?
It's going to be the minutes. It's going to be every syllable of the minutes from the Federal Reserve's January meeting. They are going to be dissected by investors short-term and long-term on Wednesday to try to get a sense of what the Fed and its board of governors and its regional presidents that voted to keep interest rates steady in January, what they see in the economy that inserted the word patience in the statement that was released in the January meeting just 6 weeks after they had raised short-term interest rates in January. What is it that the Federal Reserve is concerned about? What are the metrics it's looking at? Something more than just the general kind of open mouth committee statement that we see about monitoring inflationary trends and full employment. But is it the government shutdown? Was it the stock market bear market that came in late 2018? Is it the slowdown in Germany or the trade war that has it concerned that inserted that word patience into its economic forecast in January? That's going to garner a lot of deserved attention this week.
Well, and we've even seen a couple of economists say, you know, there could be a fall ahead. And is that on your slate? Do you see the potential for that?
Well, I think it's whether
like
or not
a recession.
The Federal Reserve. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't see it. You don't see it in the data here, but the Fed needs to be looking out over the end of the hood of the car. They need to be, you know, looking well down the road to see what the next 6 months look like, the next 9 months look like. You know, Germany's economy has slowed considerably. Now half of its GDP is because of exports. What is that telling us about the European economy? This trade war issue with this self-imposed March 2nd deadline between the United States and China to consider another round of tariffs. What is that going to look like certainly in the weeks ahead? We averted the government shutdown, yes, but at what cost to investor confidence when it comes to fiscal policy of the U.S.? Not monetary policy, but the ability of Congress and the president to agree on how to spend money in a way that is not only responsible, certainly, but also stimulative and additive to the U.S. economy.
Talk a little bit about the Fed and its transparency. Are they maybe giving us a little bit too much information so that if they have to pivot, I mean, everyone on Wall Street goes, oh, wait a minute, why is the Fed changing its mind? What does it know? When if they don't give us as much info, maybe we don't have to worry about that.
And I think this is the most interesting part, Cisco, of these minutes due out on Wednesday. The way I put it this week in the column is watching the Federal Reserve shift its stance on the economy is a little bit like watching ice melt. You can't pinpoint the exact moment the ice turns into slush, turns and then goes away. Perhaps we'll be able to pinpoint that moment here as the Fed clearly has turned more cautious in January than it was in December. What is adding to that? What kind of specificity is the Federal Reserve going to feel comfortable giving the market and giving investors that they need in order to really identify how the Federal Reserve is feeling about the economy over the next several months?
Let's talk about home sales, specifically existing home sales. We expect January data this week. Why, given what happened in December, why is this important? Why are people paying attention to this, maybe even more than normal?
It relates back to the Federal Reserve, Cisco. Interest rates, mortgage rates, right? Mortgage rates kind of had been ticking up in late 2018, but you saw the wealth destruction happen in the equity markets, with the stock market turning into a bear market late last year. The confidence that the home buyer is going to have in plunking down the kind of cash involved in purchasing a home, but also the ability of credit, the availability of credit, and the access to credit is going to be important. And so that's why we try to tease out. 1 month certainly is not going to necessarily make or break, but we want to see what that trend is looking like, even in the wintertime when home sales tend to slow down.
Tom Hudson, always appreciate you being with us. Always great insight. Tom is the Week Ahead columnist for McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Stick with us here on the Noon Business Hour. We'll have a review of this year's Chicago Auto Show and also talk about what the auto show means for consumers as well as for the dealers. We're broadcasting live today from the Chicago Auto Show. It wraps up at 8 o'clock tonight here at McCormick Place. So if you want to get out, today is the last day. We're talking now with Ray Scarpelli, the chairman of this year's Chicago Auto Show. Ray, is welcome to the show. As we've been sitting here kind of looking at people coming in and out of the show since 10 o'clock this morning, it's a lot of families. It's a lot of moms, dads, kids. I think some people assume an auto show is just for car enthusiasts.
And people in their 50s and 60s now will tell you that that was one of the highlights of their winters, going to the auto show with their dad and mom.
Yeah, tell us about it. So who comes to the auto show?
Well, that's true. You walk through here and you'll see families. And it's generational. I see grandpas, grandmas coming. And now we see another generation of younger people. But there's a lot to do here. That's primarily the reason. It's certainly cars, trucks, and SUVs. We have over 1,000 on hand here. We're on 1 million square feet. There's food. There's a lot of food around. But in addition, there's test tracks. We have 4 indoor test tracks. So who doesn't enjoy getting in a vehicle, going through up a hill, up a hill, down a hill, around some curves? We have the Jeep track. It's celebrating our 15th year here, Camp Jeep. And if you haven't been there, you got to do it. You guys, if you have time, do it.
Yeah. Can you tell that the economy is heading toward a recession or not, or doing really well based on data that you see around this time of year?
Well, if the show is any indication, we're up in attendance, Chris. So we're very optimistic of the spring selling season, which is the auto show. The auto show is an indicator of, you know, our spring selling season and beyond. So there's a lot of folks in attendance here today. We're open till 8 o'clock. We've got great parking, but we are up over last year in attendance for the whole show. So that's a good marker for what's going on. And the incentives are there for consumers now. Gas prices are low. People are working. The average age of a car is still 11 years old. So if you come here on 1 million square feet, over 1,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs, you're going to get an idea of something that you may want to purchase.
As you're hearing, you're watching these crowds over the auto show, are you getting a sense of what we're hearing, that people are moving more to SUVs, they're kind of moving away from the sedans? Are you able at all to gauge that, and are dealers paying attention to that? Hey, what kind of cars are people actually interested in?
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of people will come here and see certainly cars, trucks, and SUVs, but you'll see more SUVs and more trucks than ever before. It seems because the engineering has gotten so good on these vehicles. They're great on gas now. They drive like any car, and they come with the same features or more than a regular sedan. So especially safety features. You come to the auto show, you'll see safety features demonstrated right here. We have product specialists on hand at most of the displays, if not all of them, to demonstrate all the great safety features.
You said the number of people visiting the show is higher than last year. What about prices that they'll pay? How much higher this year than last?
You know, we don't have that number as an average, but what we do see is the affordability factor is still high. We have great leasing opportunities for consumers. We have purchases, you know, that people can make with certainly great loan terms. So the incentives during the auto show time and the spring selling season are very high, so the affordability is really good for folks still.
Seems like the auto show is always good if, say, in the next 6 months you're thinking about buying. I mean, there's nowhere else that you're going to get access to this many cars, this great variety of vehicles, to be able to go, hey, I'm thinking about it. Now, let me sit down in one and actually see what's comfortable, what do I like.
That's the key thing. If you're in the market, you got 1 million square feet. You can cross shop. You can go from brand to brand, import, make, domestic make, electric vehicles. We have them all here. 99% of what's sold here is demonstrated right on our showroom, our auto show floor here. So it's a great opportunity.
Ray Scarpelli is the auto show chairman of this year's auto show. Good to be with you. We always enjoy being at the show and seeing all the activity. So thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Best wishes.
Thank you very much.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are closed today in observance of President's Day. We'll check in on the direction of Wall Street.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investment pro.
Data analytics are a growing part of America's huge trucking industry.
And China's government is accusing the U.S. of trying to block its industrial development after Vice President Mike Pence called the country's telecom equipment suppliers a security threat.
No movement on Wall Street today. The market's closed because of the holiday. We have some clouds in Chicagoland, a few lingering flurries, some areas getting peaks at the sun, high of 28 degrees, and that's right about where we are now, 27 at O'Hare in Midway, 28 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. We're broadcasting live today from the Chicago Auto Show. If you're on your way here, be sure to stop by and say hello.
Well, there's no market activity today because of President's Day, but let's get a perspective on where things stand right now. It's a good time to kind of sit back, take a deep breath, and talk about the economy and about whatever with Mark Hulbert, who is investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Mark, thanks for joining us on this holiday. Where do you think the markets, what are they telling us? Where do we stand right now?
Well, you know, I always need to preface everything in a, that I say, and probably almost everyone else says as well, which is that no one really knows. But among the tea leaves we look at is the sentiment among market timers, which we track on a a very objective daily basis to see whether the market timing community as a whole is more or less bullish than they were, let's say, a week ago or a month ago and so forth. And unfortunately, that measure right now is showing the market timing community is extremely bullish, more bullish than they've been in over 90% of all trading days over the last 20 years. So it's really near the upper end of that spectrum. And as you know, I take what's known as a contrarian perspective on that, which is to say the market rarely accommodates the majority. And when the majority is this extreme, that suggests the more likely course of action is for the market to, over the near term, this is not a long-term projection, but over the near term, to struggle a lot more than we've seen over the last 6 weeks. We're up something like 17% since the late latter parts of December, and we're not going to see anything like that over the next several weeks.
So what could happen here?
Well, it's interesting. We always, there's that famous saying, you know, there are the known unknowns, and then there's the unknown unknowns. And there, it's probably the latter category that can sabotage us. Of course, everyone is worried about what the Federal Reserve might do with interest rates. We're worried about a trade war. There are probably a lot of other things that we aren't even thinking about, and those are the things that are likely to sabotage the market. Right now, though, I think it is clear is that the stock market is priced for perfection. So things need to come in almost near the high end of our expectation of good fortune in order for the market to continue going. So the range of possible things that could go wrong is so much larger than the things that could be unexpectedly good news that I think the odds alone on that front suggest that we are more cautious than the market as a whole is acting right now.
So the extreme optimism, I mean, maybe it's not warranted, right? I mean, maybe it's not really based on all of the facts, but what does an investor do? If it seems like there's this optimism and you're going to get people putting money in the market, that would mean prices should do pretty well, at least in the short run.
Well, that's right. It's a good question. When you have as much optimism as you're seeing right now, most people who have discretionary money that they put in or out of the market on a short-term basis, most of that money is probably already in the market, which means there's not a lot of sideline cash there, not a lot of extra fuel to keep this fire going. And so that is one reason why when you have optimism as high as we have right now, that the market's more likely to go down. But just in general, I guess the way to look at it is this. I mean, we're up 17% since where the market stood in late December. The question that we should ask ourselves is the U.S. economy and the global economy generally 17% more worthwhile now than it was 6 weeks ago? And the chances are we'd probably all recognize that the answer is no. So what happened is in late December, there was an excess of pessimism. Now there's an excess of optimism. Things are never as bad as we probably think they are, just as it's probably also the case that things are never as good as we think they are when we are particularly optimistic. The truth, again, it sounds like such a hackneyed phrase to say it, but the truth is somewhere in between. And
cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Trucking freight futures contracts will begin trading on March 29th. Let's find out how they work from Kyle Lintner, Principal and Director of Markets at K-Ratio here in Chicago. Kyle, thanks for joining us. A lot of people can't imagine what a futures contract in trucking freight looks like, what it would even be about. So kind of give us a thumbnail sketch. What is this?
Well, thanks for having me. First, I'd say the easiest way to think about it is we are now going to trade the price of a truck from one origin pickup to a destination drop-off.
And so if you are an investor, you're thinking about picking up and getting into these futures contracts, what sort of things are you weighing? How do you evaluate this?
Well, there's the global macro-level economic trends that everyone looks at for any investment vehicle. More specifically to freight, I would say this is a matter of truck capacity and overall volume demand in any market, and the converse for wherever that pickup is headed.
What kind of impact are you looking about? You have to keep your eye on the gas industry.
Well, for these contracts, it's kind of a nice thing we have going. These contracts will be line haul only, meaning we won't have the price of fuel included in the contract. You'll simply be buying or selling the price of that truck from its pickup to its destination.
Is this the first time that there's been future contracts in this area?
Yes. In freight, that is, and it sounds like a wonderful idea, and everybody always asks, why hasn't this been done before? The easiest way to explain it is that recent government regulations and some new added data features that allow for things such as GPS on trucks have kind of provided a level playing field and a standardization of service that allows for us to now trade that service.
So is that why you got into that service? It just seemed to be something that was more feasible to actually work?
Yeah, if we're all not trading the same thing, then we can't have a product listed on an exchange. So now that we have the same hours of service for all trucks, we have the general idea of where that truck is at all times with GPS, we can offer the customer a product that they can really tailor to whatever their needs are.
If any of our listeners are interested in looking further in this, how do they get information?
Specific to K-Ratio, you can find us on our website at k-ratio.com. If you want more information on the market in general, you can head over to the Nodal Exchange or to freightwaves.com.
So obviously for investors, there's opportunities here to make some money. What about the shippers, the carriers? How does it affect them? Can it in any way help their bottom lines?
100%. This would be very similar to other futures markets, meaning that it allows a shipper to control their costs. It allows a carrier to fix their revenues. And for a 3PL or a freight brokerage, it allows them to do both.
Doesn't the economy, the state of the economy, have some pretty big sway in this?
Yes, I'd say the majority of the prices traded will be a factor of the overall macroeconomic trend related to freight. Obviously, the better the economy is doing, the more goods that are being purchased. Those more goods that are being purchased means the more they're being transported. So in general, I would say we do need a healthy U.S. economy and even a global economy for that matter to have a high freight rate. But in addition to that, there's some other factors that play into it, weather, supply and demand to the local area. There's just a few things that can change the price.
And in addition, it seems like freight is a good way for people to kind of get a sense of how the economy is going. I mean, if there's a lot of stuff moving, it's probably a good sign.
It is a very strong barometer of the overall economy health.
So is anyone going to be able to get involved on this? Is it exclusive or pretty much anyone who finds this interesting can get involved?
Well, any business or individual that meets the financial requirements of the Nodal Exchange will be able to participate. But aside from that, the benefit to all is that all prices will be publicly digestible, so everyone can see whether rates are moving higher or lower. And as you alluded to earlier, this is a very good gauge of the overall economy.
What does it mean to be in the Chicago, Illinois, and running this this business?
You couldn't ask
Why did
for
you
a better
choose
place to
Chicago?
Have it. We're the, as we all know, this is the futures capital of the world, and it's also one of the premier freight brokerage points in the entire country. So to have these two industries merged together and to be located in Chicago, I couldn't ask for a better thing.
Thanks so much for being with us, Kyle Lintner, Principal and Director of Markets at K-Ratio here in Chicago, discussing trucking freight futures contracts. They begin trading on March 29th. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday, still to come our Monday stock picker as we are broadcasting live today from the Chicago Auto Show. If you're on your way here, be sure to stop by and say hello. We would love to see you.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday here on the Noon Business Hour, and we are joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck. What's your first pick today?
The first pick is Zebra Technologies. The symbol is ZBRA. The stock sells for about $199 a share. The company does a variety of services. It's an interesting kind of tech play. They do automatic ID and data capture products, so a barcode monitoring, scanning, et cetera, for a variety of industries. The company has beaten earnings estimates in the last four quarters. The valuation is still reasonable in my mind. It trades at about 17 times the company's 2019 earnings estimates. The stock has done well, but I still think there's upside. It's a stock that we own in our clients and one that we're especially bullish on. That Zebra Technologies trading at $199 per share.
And that's a Chicago area company, is it not? I remember it went that through the recession a few years ago.
All right, so Zebra Technologies, that's pick number one. What's your second pick?
Second pick is a company well known to most of the listeners is Walt Disney. And what I think is starting to become more evident with Disney is the leverage the company has in its new online streaming services. It is doubled the number of subscribers to its new ESPN Plus streaming service. They're going to be coming out with a Disney Plus streaming service. And the one thing that Disney has always had is high-quality content that they can use to kind of fund and drive these streaming services. So I think that's going to be, you know, over the next 36 to 48 months, a real nice new revenue generator for the company to complement its still very strong film and theme park businesses. So I think, you know, at $112 a share, it's a stock that I think is still reasonably priced. Media stocks haven't really caught a lot of fire over the last few years, so I think you can still buy that stock at reasonable value. And it has kind of a new growth driver that I think you'll see really come to the front again over the next 3 to 4 years.
All right, Chuck Carlson, his two picks, Zebra and Disney. Before we let you go, Chuck, what's the Dow theory telling us these days?
Well, the Dow theory still is the last major signal under the Dow theory was a bear market signal. Obviously, we've had a very, very aggressive rally off the December declines that we had. You know, based on the Dow theory, though, we would think that before we get the new all-time highs in the Dow Industrials, we'll probably see a pullback in here. So that's kind of what the theory is saying right now is, yes, we've had a real nice rally off those lows, but I think investors should still be on the lookout for a possible pullback and a retest of the December lows.
Thanks for the advice. Always nice to have you on the program. Chuck Carlson, CEO, Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast at this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time 12:55. No market action today. The markets are closed because it is President's Day. But we do have business news sponsored by Baird from Bloomberg.
Video titans thought they'd found the Holy Grail. Hook players on games and keep them with in-game purchases and tournaments.
Everyone wants to be modeled after Netflix now and have this sort of recurring monthly revenue by subscription or otherwise.
And Bloomberg's Chris Palmieri says that worked until now. New versions of older titles have been flops, including Electronic Arts' Madden NFL, Grand Theft Auto from Take-Two, and Activision Blizzard's Destiny 2.
The city is secure. Those who fled are being hunted. And those foolish enough to remain have been executed.
Activision will cut 8% of its workforce after a disappointing sales forecast. There are bright spots. Palmieri says mobile games are hot. Think Candy Crush.
Sweet.
They're now making console quality games to play for free on your phone. For now, it seems like mobile is winning the day.
Palmieri notes Microsoft and Sony could still shake up the industry with new consoles in the next few years. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, Patrice Sikora, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.